Welcome to the Optimal Optimism podcast series, made active by Virgin Active. The single-minded focus of the series is to empower you with practical tools to create a positive and abundant life. Our aim is to replace the glass half empty mentality with the productive glass half full mindset. As part of the series, we'll be chatting to Virgin Active experts who will be giving their insights on the topics we discuss. In this episode, we'll be speaking to Dr. Zondi. Dr. Zondi is a sports and exercise medicine physician experienced in clinical sports medicine, executive management, and leadership. Her life mission is to use sport and physical activity as a tool for socioeconomic development and as a platform that facilitates transformation, diversity, and inclusion. Her clinical expertise are in management and prevention of injury and illness in athletes. She's the current chairperson of the Medical Advisory Commission for the South African Confederation and Olympic Committee, a director of the Sharks, and the South African Institute for Drug-Free Sports. Dr. Zondi, thank you for your time today. How are you doing?
Hi, Barrett. I'm very well, and it's good to be with you.
Thank you for your time. So let's take it to the basics. Tell me, what is the function of the body?
You know, it seems like such a simple question, but when you actually break it down, it's a little bit more difficult to articulate than that. But fundamentally, our bodies are the vehicle we use to carry us through life. Our bodies are what enable us to live, to function, to love, to be in existence, essentially. If one has to get a little bit more sort of medical about it, I guess the body is made up of five different systems and they all work together to create life. And you are the custodian of this vehicle. And like your car, if we use a car as an analogy, you need to give it the right fuel if you want it to go to the distance. You need to regularly service it to keep it running smoothly. And you generally need to take care of it on the inside and the outside in order to ensure that it keeps going and so that you can keep going.
I love that. I love that you use that analogy of it being a vehicle. I often say to people that your car is your vehicle and you need to give it enough petrol to get where it's going to. Because if you're not getting enough petrol, then you're getting stuck. And then what's the point? So we are completely on the same wavelength with that. Now, what is the importance of keeping the body active?
So I mentioned briefly that there are five different systems that work together in your body to create and sustain life, right? And these systems are your circulatory system, your respiratory system, your nervous system, digestive system, and your skeletal system. Physical activity positively influences every single one of these systems. So in other words, it enables, facilitates, and it helps to optimize the function of all systems. And one can break it down, you know, how physical activity has an effect on each and every single one of these.
So can you break it down a little bit further, as you mentioned?
Absolutely. So five systems. Let me just give you quick examples for each of them. So the circulatory system is very much the heart that acts as a pump and a network of blood vessels. So it's needed for the flow of blood, of oxygen, nutrients throughout the body. Physical activity improves cardiac function. So a stronger heart can pump blood with less effort. I'm giving you very basic examples.
So dive deeper. What are a couple of examples of the cardio that you mentioned?
So physical activity, just aerobic activities, so regular jogging, cycling, walking, improves the capacity of the heart. It improves the strength of that cardiac muscle. So it makes it more efficient as it pumps. This is just one thing. Aerobic exercise also improves your blood vessels and your vasculature. So it makes your blood vessels a lot less resistant, and therefore it has an effect on lowering blood pressure. You know, so that's one example of many examples of how physical activity benefits, and specific type of physical activity benefits the circulatory system.
You mentioned walking. Now, a lot of people perceive walking as, oh, you know, I'm just walking to the shops. I'm just walking around the corner. And they don't necessarily register it or take it in that their body is getting benefit or exercise or cardiovascular benefit from that movement. So you can confirm, though, that when people are doing that walking, they are getting benefits, cardiovascular and body benefit from that movement. Am I correct in my question?
Absolutely. So in the world of sports medicine or exercise medicine, really, which is using exercise as a form of preventing and managing illnesses, anything is better than nothing. So physical activity, a little goes a long way. you know, quite literally. And so obviously we always speak about the benefits of physical activity, and there's general recommendations about how much physical activity you need to do and at what intensity you need to do it in order to benefit in the way that you do from a cardiovascular perspective, from a musculoskeletal perspective, and on all of these systems. But really, even walking, even non-exercise activity plays a really important role in terms of energy balance. So usually we say you must aim for moderate activity 5 days a week, at least 30 minutes. But these days, the recommendation is actually going up to 60 minutes, so 30 to 60 minutes, 5 days a week, moderate intensity exercise. And that means you can hold a conversation, but at some point you're getting a little bit out of breath. You know, you're not going to be able to be belting out a song. You know, that's your moderate level of intensity. But even the little things, so that's why we often say taking the steps, parking a little bit further, increasing the amount of non-exercise activity. So even that casual stroll around the block has a very important role in terms of energy balance, in terms of health, and in terms of really maintaining good health and well-being.
So it's literally putting one foot in front of the other and moving.
Movement is medicine.
Exactly. So I interrupted you. So if you could go into the different other, you mentioned the cardiovascular, if you could go into the other four elements that you spoke of.
Yes. So we spoke about the circulatory system. The next example I can give you perhaps is the respiratory system. So your respiratory system breathes life into the body. Exercise directly improves lung capacity. It improves the body's ability to absorb oxygen, specifically during, again, aerobic activity. So the walking, jogging, cycling, and increasing the amount of oxygen into bigger lungs with a stronger heart to pump oxygen to the body is more energy delivered into the body. So you're just more energized by mere fact that you're actually physically active and what's happening in terms of your oxygen absorption and your oxygen transfer throughout the body.
A question. Do you find that when people are exercising, you know, for myself, being an instructor, I teach group instructor classes, I find that a lot of people hold their breath instead of full lung capacity breathing when they're exercising because the movement is shorter. So they sometimes feel like they need to hold that breath in.
Absolutely. And it's such a great opportunity for instructors like yourself to teach people how to breathe during exercise. Because for people who don't know, I guess, how to breathe during exercise, it can actually become a limitation, right? And so if somebody ends up doing anaerobic exercise when they should actually be doing aerobic exercise, in other words, anaerobic usually describes a short burst of energy where you might not actually be breathing, as opposed to the aerobic activity, which you should be able to comfortably participate in for a more extended duration of time. And so there's a place, obviously, for anaerobic activity, but there's absolutely a very important place for this aerobic activity. So to learn how to breathe during exercise also helps you to optimize the kind of exercise and the outputs that you're doing and sustain that activity for a longer period of time.
Is there a tips or a way someone could get that breathing during exercise instead of holding it in? Is there any like a tip that you could give us?
You know where the great places to learn how to breathe and exercise? Actually, yoga and your Pilates are fantastic classes as bases to join in order to learn sort of how to inhale on a specific movement and exhale in a specific movement, specifically with the stretching. It's usually when we say you must exhale, you know, on stretch. But it really depends on the activity that you'd be doing. It depends on the movement, let me say, that you're doing that must direct how you breathe.
So you mentioned the five elements. What's the third one?
Let's move to the nervous system. So the nervous system is that which transmits signals to and from different parts of your body in response to different environmental changes, right? So that's your brain stem, and then your nerves that go out into your limbs. So in the short term, exercise primarily benefits the nervous system in terms of neurotransmitters. So it's shown specifically to lower activity of the stress response system. So that sympathetic nervous system, that fight or flight system, which is really, really important, right? So it mediates that so that you're not running on high adrenaline the whole time, and it mediates that response. In terms of the long-term effects of exercise, the benefits on the nervous system really relate to, again, pathways for oxygen being enhanced and how muscle growth is stimulated, and all related to the nervous system. So really important for brain health in terms of oxygenating the brain exercise, but also in terms of lowering that stress response and in terms of relation to neurotransmitters. And neurotransmitters is often what mediates, you know, that feel-good response after exercise. We speak about serotonin, you know, that feel-good response, that exercise high that you get, which is really important in terms of mood disorders, and just general well-being and stress.
Brilliant. Number four.
Number four, let's move to the digestive system before I forget. So digestive system is the gut involved in the breakdown of food into smaller components until it can be absorbed and basically assimilated into the body as it's needed. Physical activity increases blood flow to the muscles in your digestive system, so it helps food move along the gut. It also, really importantly, affects the balance of bacteria in the gut. And I know there's a lot of talk that's been happening here about gut bacteria. People speak a lot about probiotics, and exercise helps ensure that you've got healthy bacteria in the gut. And lastly, of course, as we know, it increases your metabolism and influences how you utilize energy and how energy is consumed. So really important effect on the digestive system.
And it's a natural way to increase a person's metabolism.
It is.
And it's a fun way.
Well, for those of us who love exercise, but my method is everyone can learn to love exercise. You just need to find the exercise that works for you.
Exactly. You know what I find? I find that this, you know, everyone's got their own definition of fitness, you know, and there's a societal definition that fitness equals running or being in the, you know, in the weight section, pumping iron, pumping weights, and their bodies might not necessarily be aligned to those types of movements or exercises. So instead of trying to find the movement that fits with their bodies, they stick to that. And these days there's martial arts, there's, as you mentioned, yoga, there's Pilates, there's dancing, there's Zumba, there's all these different types. It's very important, I feel, for people to try different things.
To explore and experiment.
Exactly.
And be guided by their heart and how they respond to the activity, right?
So it becomes a passion and a joy instead of a task and, oh, now I need to do this.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's one of the reasons I often advocate when I'm speaking to parents or mothers specifically is that you need to involve your child in as much activity as possible. So in other words, let them explore when they're still young so they can find what they like and what they enjoy. Don't force your child to do a specific type of activity. And more importantly, they can't only participate in activity that they don't enjoy, because then they're going to learn to loathe exercise, quite frankly, and physical activity, when you should actually be creating an opposite experience. And the same is true for the adult, right? Explore, experiment. Just because your friends run and they absolutely love it, you might hate it, but try hiking, for example, try yoga, try different classes at the gym, try outdoor activities, and also recognize that your interests might change over time as you grow and as your body changes. I'll use myself as an example. I was an avid runner. In fact, I still am a runner by heart, but an avid runner. But at some point, I just stopped enjoying it as much. And recently, I found myself really, really enjoying cycling and loving, you know, cycling. And it's taken me places where I would have never gone, you know, running. But the point is, I've allowed myself to grow and change as my interests have changed or my circumstances have changed. And I've had to accommodate a different form of physical activity to fit in my lifestyle.
Is it you? You answered my next question. I was just going to ask you, let's take it to you. And what do you enjoy? So it's like the same for me. You'll laugh. I've never learned how to ride a bike. I stopped at training wheels as a child, but I'm actually a spinning instructor and I love teaching spinning classes and I hate running, but I'm not sure if you're aware of Kango jumps. So it's sort of like boots where you go sort of bouncing down the road.
Okay.
I've got a pair of those and I love going for a bounce. And what's amazing is that they're so unusual that people stop their cars and take videos of me while I'm going for my bounce. But absolutely.
You have to share a video of that because I've not seen it. I'll have to Google that to have a look at what it looks like.
Yeah, absolutely.
It sounds like fun though.
Yeah, it takes running to a different level.
Absolutely. And going on to that, you know, one of the things, for instance, my husband himself, he's always hated running. He's a former rugby player. So he only really used to run because it made him better on the field and had to do, you know, sprints and whatever else for what they needed to do in the rugby match. But he's hated it. And there was a while where he just felt pressure that he had to run because that's obviously the thing that people say is most accessible. But every single time it was a chore. And so for him, I mean, one of the things that he's really enjoying these days is your HIIT type classes, CrossFit classes. He absolutely loves it. I mean, he wakes up, he's not a morning person, but he can wake up and go and do this. He's found something that works for him, right? And he, as a result, he can now actually commit to it and sustain it as a lifelong activity.
So what is your definition of the word fitness?
I guess my personal definition of fitness, it would be a basket of things. So for me, fitness is being healthy. It's being mobile, it's being agile, it's being able to do what you want to do. That's what being fit is. So it's not necessarily defined by a specific speed I am able to achieve. It's just feeling that I'm able to do what I need to do in terms of physical activity and movement.
Absolutely. I mean, yours is very similar to mine. Mine is about incorporating movement and wellness so that my body is able to actively engage with everyday movement and activities. So quite similar.
Absolutely. These conversations are important, you know, Barrett, because people can be intimidated by you saying you're doing, for instance, a fitness test or a fitness assessment. Yeah. Or how fit are you? Because we assume it might mean that you must be able to run a 10K in under an hour, under 45 minutes, depending on where you're going. But it really isn't. I guess for me, also, fitness has been better today than you were yesterday. And it really is about being healthy and active.
I agree. And that leads me, thank you for the brilliant segue. That leads me to the next question. Although sometimes it's very important for us to listen to our bodies. And if today our body's a little bit tired and we walk or we stretch or we do Pilates instead of running or powerlifting or HIIT, that's okay, because we are now listening to our body and what our body's telling us for that moment and that time. So in your experience, what is the general relationship between people and the way they listen to their bodies?
You know, there's so many factors that influence the way that we view our bodies, how we engage with our bodies, and as a result, you know, how and when we listen to our bodies. And generally, to just answer your question directly, I don't think that we listen to our bodies enough, and that some people even know how to listen to their bodies and then respond to the signals that the body is giving them. I mean, our relationship with our body starts in childhood. You know, it's influenced by how you move in childhood, how you're fed as a child, how your parents speak to you about your body, by the behavior of other people towards their own bodies, media, the kinds of activity that you participate in as a child, your relationship with food, illness. The list goes on and on and on. And the relationship we have with our bodies, and therefore how we listen and respond to our bodies, can be complex.
Yep.
And really, we need to unpack all of that if we are going to get better at listening to our bodies.
Absolutely. I mean, I often feel that so many people do not know how to listen to the body. So what happens is, the body's a little bit tired today, but then the mind kicks in and like, oh, they had the piece of chocolate cake the day before. So now they have to push harder, work harder, sprint more. And that's when they don't listen. And that's when the body potentially gets sick, because they're not engaging or listening to their bodies.
Absolutely. And I mean, the body is an incredible, incredible operation, quite frankly, because that's what it is. You know, it's this combination of systems that are complex in their own rights, but also integrate and work really well together. But the amazing thing about the body is that it does. It signals. We have an innate ability to just signal, firstly adjust to get ourselves right, and then signal when something is wrong. But we get so used to hearing these signals or dumbing down these signals that we ignore the signs,
yep.
You know, and we ignore the subtle signs, as you're saying, that you should listen to and adjust what you're doing so that your body can recover, or pursue what that signal is so that you can address it, right, if it's an illness. And I think the more we recognize that your body is a vehicle to realizing your full potential, to living your full life, the better you will be at listening to your body. The more you'll start to respect it, to take care of it, understand that input relates to output, you know, an input in terms of everything, nutrition, exercise, affirmations, positive stimuli, limiting also the negative input, right? And the negative stimuli.
Yeah.
Once you start to recognize the importance of your body being a vehicle, you tend to be more in tune with your body and you're quicker to recognize when things are off.
Absolutely. I love everything you've just touched on. And also, I find that so many people are focusing on the negatives, on what they want to change. Oh, they don't like their hips. They don't like their stomach. Oh, this is wrong. That, and they're always focusing on that one little element. I remember one of the people, clients that I was training a number of years ago, she said to me the one day, oh, I wish my hips would go. I wish they would go. And I was, in the next breath, she said, but then what would I be complaining and focusing on next?
Oh, listen to that.
And it was like, well, yeah. So what you focus and put energy and look into is what you keep creating.
Absolutely.
The explanation of what it means to have a 100% productive body, what is your perception of that? What do you feel that explanation is?
So to me, I guess having a productive body, and I'll go back to the sort of the conversation around these systems in your body that are working together. But I guess to have a 100% productive body for me would mean that all the systems are working efficiently and they're working optimally and as close to 100% as possible. Your body is, in my mind, at 100% when it's able to adjust to different stimuli that it's constantly getting to make the accommodations that it needs to make to sort of maintain your physiological, you know, homeostatic state and stability without significant strain or fallout in the organs. That to me would be a 100% productive body, a body that's able to work efficiently, optimally, adjust as it needs to adjust, and that isn't experiencing like significant strain or fallout in the organs.
And incorporating listening to the body would allow that 100% productivity. Would you not agree?
I think it's so important. And, you know, the topic of knowing your body and listening to your body, you know, we can't have the conversation enough, specifically because people have a tendency to compare themselves against other people mm-hmm. or to just overconsume whatever it is that's out there without bearing into consideration what your own body is saying and your individual circumstances. Our bodies are different and they respond differently to different stimuli. And this is the conversation we're having about different exercise appealing to different people. So it's really important that we learn ourselves and we come to understand how our bodies respond in different environments so that we know what we need to do individually to function at our best, right? So we need to know what food will give you sustained energy. I might do better on a high protein diet, as an example. Yeah. You might do better intermittent fasting. Somebody else might do better small meals throughout the day, you know? But we all respond differently to different stimuli, different inputs. How much sleep do I need? You know, I know myself, I need to get at least 6 hours of sleep a night. Some people can function with 4, not necessarily healthy. Some people need 9 hours of sleep, yep. you know, and so on and so forth. Exercise also comes into this, but really important to understand your own body and to start listening for your individual cues and then build a structure and a life that accommodates that.
Yeah, you mentioned about the comparisons and with media and social media and all these posts that people are posting on Instagram, and you know that people are like, ah, you know, they start look at that and then look at the mirror, and then because I feel that the person's default is to look for the negative within themselves, there's this potentially for them an unattainable goal that they'll never potentially receive. It becomes this self-esteem deflated element. When all of that stuff is filtered and photoshopped in the meantime. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's so important, especially with young girls and young teenagers, really, not just girls and boys.
Exactly.
It's so important that we constantly remind them of that filter. I mean, they use it themselves, Snapchat, you know, adding the filter and the blue eyes, whatever, sparkling eyes. But just remind them that, you know, what you see out there on social media, often it has. It's been primed, propped, primed, trimmed, you know what I mean? So it's not a reflection of reality. And even then, our circumstances are very different, you know, so you need to be able to just be appreciative of your own circumstances and work within your circumstances, quite frankly.
I totally agree with what you just said. And what I also find is that there's this element of people being undressed and naked. As kids, we're always told to cover up, cover up, cover up, you know, not to be comfortable in our skins, you know, and then I feel it culminates in this element as adults that when we are look at our own bodies, because we were always told to cover up, that we look at our bodies with this negative, unhealthy perception. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you know, I think I mentioned this earlier, is that, you know, how we engage with our bodies and how we perceive our bodies is something that's shaped from a young age. You're very right. And so if we're told, you know, cover up, don't look at your body, this is shameful, that's the subliminal and not so subliminal conscious and unconscious measures that are in our heads. And actually, as a result, it could lead to a lot of problems, you know, when we don't, as parents, speak to our kids about their bodies. You need to be able to have these open conversations about your body, how it's working, understanding it, different people's bodies, and appreciating the difference, actually, between different bodies and different body types. If we continue to use this analogy of the body as a vehicle, think about the number of different cars that there are out there. But fundamentally, cars can get you from A to B. Whether you're driving a Polo, whether you're driving a Mercedes-Benz, whether you're driving a Ferrari, it'll get you from A to B, right? There's a lot that you can do to make your engine better and run smoothly, regardless of what car you're driving, right? I think about my first car that I had, a Golf. I loved it. I still have such fond memories of that car because it allowed me to live my best life back then as a varsity student. And so there's a time and a place for everything, and we can celebrate our vehicle no matter what it looks like. But what we can also do is take time to service and maintain your vehicle so that it's in the best possible shape that it can be. So it's the best, if you're driving a Polo, the best Polo that it can be at that particular moment in time.
Exactly. And every car is made to perfection when it's made.
Absolutely.
Same as the bodies. Every body is made to perfection as it's made.
You know, when we use this analogy of the vehicle, you know, you literally, you have everything you need to take you through this life in your body. Everything. Everything you need in this vehicle. You just need to take care of it and it'll take care of you.
And what's amazing is that so many people are looking outside of them for whatever elements they perceive they don't have to achieve certain things when it's all within them.
Absolutely. And I mean, what you can, of course, do is you can influence and inform the inputs, right? Those things that will shape and mold and help refine your car. But fundamentally, you've got everything that you need. You know, you just need to take care of it and you need to understand it and then work with it to realize your full potential.
To finish off, can you give me your top five tools that people can implement now to enable them to listen to their body?
So Barrett, I think firstly, it's important for us to know that we're all born with an instinctive ability to listen to and to respond to our body. It's just that over time, some of us downregulate this. And so it's behavior that the downregulation is behavior that we need to unlearn consciously and consciously learn to listen. So in terms of five tools, first thing is you need to understand why it's important to make it relevant to you. Why is it important for me to listen to my body right now at this moment in time? And that why will be really important because that why is going to keep you coming back. That why is going to sustain you, right? The next thing is, in order to listen, you need to make time. So you need to build the time into your schedule. And if you're really bad at listening to your body, that might need to be an actual block of time that you schedule out into your diary quite literally. So for instance, before I wake up, my alarm will go off in the morning. Before I get out of bed, I'm just going to sit quietly in my bed, take a few deep breaths in, and just listen. Take note of how I'm feeling, what's my mood, how tired I am, is there any emotional state, what's my physical state, in other words, am I feeling any aches and pains anyway, and just do a mental check-in. So it might actually be something that you need to build time into your schedule until it becomes something that you just naturally do. The next really like key tool actually is journaling. So journaling is something that works for some people. So journaling, again, how you feel, how you've responded to something. So specifically, if you're making any changes, journal, I've changed my diet as an example, and this is how I'm responding. This is how my gut feels. I'm feeling bloated, or I'm actually feeling very energized, you know, after I've eaten X, Y, Z, or I've done this type of activity, and this is how I'm feeling in terms of my mood, in terms of my body, in terms of any muscle aches and pains. And then over a period of time, so every, you know, at the end of the week, when you look back, you can start to see patterns, right? And start to see, oh, this is the input, or this is the stimulus that happened, and this is how I responded, and start to better understand your body. So journaling is quite helpful. And I think that would be probably in fact, if I just had to summarize it, those would be three things. But I think importantly, really important for you to also build in constant check-ins, again, mood, aches and pain, your appetite, and really importantly, just to build time out, you know, put on the brakes from time to time.
Thank you for listening to the Optimal Optimism podcast, made active for you by Virgin Active. Find out more information on our sponsors by visiting virginactive.co.za or follow at @virginactivesa on all social media platforms. Optimal Optimism is produced by me, Barrett Edelstein, together with Erin Madise and Spike Ballantyne, and is available on cliffcentral.com, the Cliff Central app, or wherever you enjoy listening to podcasts.